This is an abridged version of our May 1, 2025 letter. For the full text and images, please check the print version. Title: A 1-2 Punch, in Our Favor. The trick is not to learn to trust your feelings but to discipline yourself to ignore them. Peter Lynch. Overview: April got off to a rough start. The market dropped sharply in the first few days, triggering our capitulation indicator on April 7th and again on the 8th, suggesting a bottom. After that, we got a strong rally. Capitulation calls for a 50% allocation in the composite, DT21C, and BTI. Accordingly, all three indicators are now set to yellow, 50% invested, as shown in the stoplight chart above. Our December 31, 2024 letter proved to be prophetic. In it, I warned that the 3-month, 10-year yield curve had uninverted, noting that uninversions have a negative effect on the stock market. The letter also highlighted that, with one exception, the 3rd of November 78, all uninversions during bull markets ultimately led to bear markets. Fast forward to today, the S&P 500 peaked on February 19, 2025, and declined 18.90% through its April 8, 2025 bottom, 20% intraday, on which date our bear market definition was met. In that December letter, I mentioned that, based on historical averages, the market could remain strong for several more months before a potential downturn. However, I explained that the uninversion signaled trouble ahead and that a bear market was a distinct possibility. The tariff war hastened what was already in motion, and the anticipated bear arrived sooner than I had projected. Below is the same table from the December 31st letter, now updated to reflect the current bull market top, February 1925, the bear market, and, at least for now, what appears to be the final low. Historically, yield curve inversions have led to recessions every time, except once, the 1966 inversion, which resulted in a bear market but no recession. If a recession were to occur in the coming months, the stock market could fall further. Why? When bear markets are associated with recessions, the drop averages 35% versus an average decline of only 24% when no recession materializes. The big silver lining is that we had capitulation on April 7th, which persisted on April 8th. Capitulation is a powerful bear market killer. The median decline from the first day of capitulation to the ultimate market bottom is 1.7%. Of the 17 capitulation events analyzed, excluding the most recent, only 3, 1974, 2008, and 2020, fell more than 10% short of the final low. The remaining 14 were strikingly close to the bottom. In the mid-month update, see appendix, I noted that capitulation often offsets the bearish signal from our bear market definition. I cited four past overlaps. Trader and YouTuber Alessio Rostani pointed out a similar case in 2018, which I had missed because the bear market definition came on December 21st and capitulation on December 24th, just 3 days apart, which I had mistakenly considered too wide a gap. However, December 21st was a Friday, and the 22nd and 23rd fell on a weekend, meaning the two signals occurred on consecutive trading days. So, the bear market signal in 2018 was indeed closely aligned with the capitulation event. Since 1962, there have only been five such overlaps: 1990, 1998, 2011, 2018, and 2020. In 4 out of 5 cases, 1990, 1998, 2011, 2018, capitulation halted the bear market, resulting in only modest further declines. The exception was March 2020, when the market fell another 18.54% after the bear market definition, and there was a recession. Bear definitions also entail a higher risk of being followed by recession. As detailed in this report, 64% of bear markets have historically been followed by a recession. However, among the five bear markets that coincided with capitulation, only one, 2020, also saw a recession. It seems that capitulation repels recessions most of the time. While the sample size is small, this pattern suggests that capitulation often signals that the market has already priced in potential negatives. But the good news doesn't stop here. This capitulation has been followed by a Zweigbreadth Thrust, ZBT, that triggered on April 24, 25. The ZBT is associated with significantly higher stock market prices over the next 12 months. I researched what happens when capitulations are followed within the next 3 months by a ZBT. The results are too good to be true, as the table below shows. The average return of the SP 500 6 and 12 months after capitulation when a ZBT overlapped is a whopping 22.85% and 32.15%, respectively. When capitulation is not followed by a SPY breadth thrust, ZBT, the performance, while still strong, is less exceptional, with average gains of only 13.61% and 24.65% over the subsequent 6 and 12-month periods, respectively, as the left table shows. Key takeaway: this capitulation signal has strong potential to drive significantly higher prices in the coming months. However, if the yield curve's recent uninversion, consistent with its historical tendency, leads to a recession, the bullish impact of capitulation could be weakened, especially over the next 6 months. In that case, the bear market may resume its downward trajectory, much like it did in 2020, the only time in recent history when capitulation coincided with a recession. That said, unlike in 2020, we now have a breadth thrust in play, which gives me greater confidence this time. From a multi-market perspective, the worst appears to be over, as highlighted in this recent post, which also analyzes performance following previous SPY breadth thrusts. The December 31, 2024 letter was titled, "A Bipolar Market," because margin, MD, debt was flashing two opposite outcomes: either a powerful continuation to the upside or a sharp downturn. No middle ground. Subsequent price action proved MD's message right: a severe drop. The left chart, courtesy of Sean Rolls, The Rolls Report, UBS, April 17, 25, illustrates the forward-looking implications for GDP of this bipolar setup. Scenario 1 envisioned the introduction of tariffs, followed by a de-escalation through negotiations, allowing the U.S. to avoid a recession. Scenario 2 outlined a prolonged tariff standoff that escalated into a full-blown global trade war. Under this scenario, the U.S. would fall into recession by mid-2025. GDP for Q1 2025 came in at -0.3%. Is this bearish for stocks? I don't think so, for three key reasons. The market already priced it in. Stocks fell nearly 20% during the tariff scare, well before this GDP print. As always, price leads the news, not the other way around. The details matter. The contraction was driven mainly by a surge in imports ahead of expected tariffs. Gold imports were especially strong. In addition, the DOGE initiative reduced government outlays, which also dragged on GDP. However, the U.S. consumer market held up well, with annualized consumption rising to 1.8%. GDP doesn't predict market direction, nor recessions. As noted in the August 1, 2024, letter, GDP data is a poor guide for future stock performance. So, if the market ultimately tanked, the culprit isn't GDP. We'll have to look elsewhere. Let's go to the technical section of our letter. Clarification: all references below to days and prices refer to trading days and closing prices. The Dow Theory for the 21st Century, DT21C, this indicator is yellow, by 50%, as of the 7th of April 25 at 37,965.60 due to the 4th of July 25 capitulation, bringing it to 50% invested. Previously, and due to the 3rd of April 25 sell, this indicator was red, 0% invested. Blay Timing Indicator, BTI. The BTI is in yellow, 50% invested, for those who invest in it, due to a simultaneous sell signal and capitulation on the 7th of April 25. The Composite Timing Indicator, the composite is in yellow, 50% invested, for those who invest in it, due to a simultaneous sell signal on the BTI and capitulation on the 7th of April 25. The bottom line: the market is inherently forward-looking. When a breadth thrust follows capitulation, it often signals that the worst has already been priced in, or that the anticipated worst may not turn out to be so dire after all. If uncertainty begins to ease and the U.S. refrains from dismantling free trade, the potential for a strong rebound is substantial. That said, while the 21st century is markedly different from the 19th and 20th, with the U.S. economy now heavily weighted towards services rather than goods, history still offers a chilling warning. As illustrated in the charts below, periods of historically high tariffs have been toxic for corporate earnings. In the two most notable cases, earnings per share, EPS, fell by 60% to 70%. For context, the median EPS decline during recessions since 1949 has been a relatively modest 13%, with the stock market typically dropping around 35%. If a trade war were to slash EPS by even just 25%, the resulting market fallout could be devastating. So much so that revisiting, or even breaking below, the April 8th lows would not come as a surprise. See you soon in our mid-month update, or even earlier should market developments dictate.